Welcome to the Space Show, Angelo.
Thank you, Andrew. Great to be here.
I believe you've been over to see the shuttle launch.
I certainly have. I guess myself, Peter Alwood, and Michael Abdillah, all three of us are association members for some time. Earlier this year, there was a thought that perhaps as the shuttles were coming to an end, we should go and do something, and surprise, surprise, it all sort of gelled together, and we followed in great footsteps of Andrew Rennie the month before, and went and saw Atlantis, which is the last supposed flight of Atlantis, STS-132, so it was great, yeah.
Meanwhile, the shuttle was in orbit. How long did it stay up?
The shuttle was about a two-week mission, as usual, you know, 14 days. And what we did was we saw the launch, we saw the solid rocket boosters, and in between we did, you know, the usual thing of going to the visitor centre and doing the various then and now tours, and that, you know, another story in itself of the things that we saw and did. But after that, we packed our bags and basically headed up to Washington. So whilst the shuttle was in orbit, we were in Washington doing our Washington part of the space trip.
But you came back for the landing.
We certainly did. We coordinated to make sure that we came back to the landing. We spoke to a lot of people, and the consensus was that the best place to see it was the visitor centre, which was just outside of the Kennedy Space Centre proper. But it all depended on where the shuttle was going to land, whether it was going to come in from the south or whether it was going to come in from the north. And we didn't know. And when we got up early in the morning, because we all got up about, you know, 6 o'clock and turned on NASA TV to see what was going on, and all of a sudden we heard the news that it's coming in from the south. Bingo. The Space Center is the place to be. So the Visitor Center was the place to be. So it was going to land at about 8 o'clock, quarter past 8 that morning. We promptly got ourselves organized, knocked on Michael's door and said, "Come on, Mike, we're heading off." And we drove down to the Visitor Center. And we observed the landing from there.
And what was that experience like?
Well, it was interesting because there was probably 150 people, you know, scattered around in cars around the visitor centre on the outside. And everyone was, you know, looking up in the sky, not really knowing what was going on. I tagged aside a guy who had a big camera with a big lens, so he obviously knew what he was doing. And he had the shortwave radio on, so he was actually listening to NASA as the shuttle was coming in. And so we were basically listening to it as it was coming. Now, he told us, because he pictured a lot of these landings, he said, "Look, the first thing you'll hear is sonic booms. And then, you know, if you look up, you'll actually see it, if you're lucky." And then he said the shuttle will then do a circular maneuver, and then it'll do a couple of circles before it actually comes in for its final landing. However, the sun was very low at that time of the morning, and the shuttle was actually going to fly over the top of us and then fly north, then head out to the Atlantic and then do a turn, but it was going to do a turn near the sun, so it was going to be hard to see. Anyway, we're all sitting there waiting, and we're not quite sure where the shuttle is, and all of a sudden we hear these cracking sonic booms. Now, everyone thinks that a sonic boom is a boom. Boom, boom. It's not like that. They are like cracking whips, and it was loud. It was loud. It actually startled all of us that were there. And we looked up, of course, saw nothing, because the shuttle's travelling pretty fast at this point. Not sure how high it would be over the visitor centre.
I think at that point it's still 5-6 kilometres up.
And it comes in at a huge rate of knots. I mean, you know, 1 minute it's 100,000 feet coming in, and all of a sudden it's over top of you, and you're hearing these cracking sonic booms, and they're again a sound you just don't forget. And then a minute elapsed or thereabouts, and everyone's looking, and this guy with the big camera said, "There it is." And to the south of the sun, lo and behold, you could see the space shuttle. And you saw it as it actually was in its turning position, so you could actually see the delta shape as it slowly turned around, heading towards you, and then it slowly turned again, and then it slowly flattened out into this, you know, the cute profile shape of the space shuttle. And what surprised me was the slowness of it. It wasn't, a thing coming in at a huge rate of knots. It looked like a really nicely controlled glide. It was just brilliant. And when you think about where it comes from and how quickly it does it, and the accuracy and the landing, it's just awesome. And to just watch it land and as it slowly disappears behind the trees is just, again, a sight you just don't forget. And of course, you had the chase plane just slightly behind it.
There was a plane behind it.
Yeah. And but he was a fair distance behind the shuttle. It wasn't like right next to it, but it was definitely there, and it flew, followed the space shuttle in. And
that would be the Gulfstream.
Correct. And in fact, I was able to take a picture of that, because I tried to take a few pictures of the space shuttle, even with my video camera, and I just was not able to do it. It was just very hard to do. But I did get a picture of the Chase as he was flying away from back to Houston or something. So it was a very spectacular part of the trip.
So Angelo, after the shuttle landed, what did you do?
Okay, this is where our status as Joe Public really pales away, because this is where inside information really helps. We knew that the space shuttle had to cross essentially a public road at the Kennedy Space Center to get from the runway to the what's called the OPF, the Orbiter Processing Facility. Now, to do that, they have to close off this road. Now, this road is the feeder road that feeds tourists, if you like, enthusiasts, from the visitor center just outside of the Kennedy Space Center to the actual Kennedy Space Center visitor center within the center there. That's where they house the Saturn V, incidentally, which is another story in itself and an awesome sight to see. So we decided we were going to go to the Kennedy Center Visitor Center, and we were in constant communication with our man on the ground, Peter Ellwood, who was part of the journalist group who actually witnessed the landing from the actual runway position. Now, it was his job to continually advise us when they were going to close this road off. It was our job to synchronize our boarding of the last bus to actually coincide with the closing of the road, so we could actually see the space shuttle come across. So Michael and I spent the morning in line, letting other people through, getting these text messages from Peter as to when the road was going to be closed, because we wanted to time the timing appropriately. Well, to cut a long story short, it was a lot of... we actually were able to get on the last bus, and it took a lot of nerve and a lot of coordination, and we didn't really even know whether we would actually get on the last bus. But we got on this bus, and the bus had been delayed slightly by a guy in a wheelchair, which we were very thankful for, as we found out, and we slowly started going down the road. And we didn't know what was going to happen. We sort of said, at the very least, we're going to see the shuttle coming down the road, we'll take a picture of it, and that's it. Anyway, we approached the road crossing, and lo and behold, people are starting to see the tail end of the space shuttle, Atlantis, as it's rolling along. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. And then I looked up towards the bus, and the front of the bus, and sure as eggs, the road had been blocked. We were the last bus, and we were in the bus, and we were going to be stopped, and we were going to watch the space shuttle go past us. And I've got to tell you, I'd sort of gone into hysterics at this point, and everyone in the bus thought I was absolutely lunatic. But when people realised just what was happening, they realised why I was getting very excited. And the reason was that we were there for about 20 minutes watching the space shuttle and its procession of people You know, the various equipment that they use to vent the space shuttle and to prepare it for its OPF entry.
Yes, all those support vehicles.
The support vehicles. And there was lots of people. There were people inside the space shuttle that we could see, and we just watched this thing go across. And of course, whilst we're doing this, I'm looking outside the bus, and sure as eggs, I see Peter Alwood out there. So I start knocking on the windows. Peter sees us. And we're all, you know, we're all sort of going off our brain because we'd all seen each other.
Yeah, three Aussies.
Three Aussies, you know, all part of the same little plot there. And it was just an awesome sight. And to see that last bit of the launch, the solid rocket boosters are landing and the shuttle moving into the OPF for possibly the last time, if they don't get any more funding, that's the last flight of Atlantis. And that's, you know, that could very well be it. It was, again, an awesome position to be in, and we were very, very fortunate. As I said, it's something that Joe Public, unless they were very, very, very lucky, would just wouldn't see. And, you know, a little bit of sadness as we drove, they opened the road again and we drove past and we saw the shuttle slowly moving into the orbiter processing facility there and, you know, saw it for the last time and thought, you know, a bit of bittersweetness of the trip. But it was, as I say, Michael and I thought ourselves really fortunate and, you know, and we were glad. And, you know, Peter was our ally who made it happen. It was great.
One final point, Angelo, and that is Joe Public. If someone, one of our listeners, went over there without the connections and without the close planning that you did, what would they be able to see if they wanted to see a shuttle launch?
Okay, I think you have to have an element of luck. The shuttle launched and landed on time, and we knew that, you know, sort of a month and a half in advance. That's pretty unusual for shuttle flights, but as we get into the end of the program, it seems that they're getting better at it. They're very good. But if you're prepared to tolerate that, you know, some of the times may vary a little bit, you can get to see a good launch and you can get to see it from a good vantage point, but you've got to book a tour to do it, and it's worth doing. Don't necessarily go through the Kennedy Space Center. You can do it through other public, private groups that do run these tours, so you'll certainly see a launch. And at the worst case scenario, you can sit at Titusville and watch it, and you'll still get a very decent view of the launch. So launch is definitely on. The solid rocket boosters, you can, if you want to, you can see that, but you've got to be a little bit organised. Get up in the morning, because they do it in the early mornings, and you go to Jetty Park. You will see that without question. And the landing. Now, you've got to be a bit lucky because it's got to land in the right direction, but normally they do land from the south. They do on occasion land from the north. They try to land in from the south. You go to the visitor centre. You don't have to pay anything, and you will see a landing. It's really that simple. If everything's on schedule, it's a bonus. The crossing across to the orbiter processing facility, that's real luck. You could chance it. From landing, it's probably about 4 to 5 hours after landing. They'll take it across the road. If you go there, you might chance it. It is unlikely, but you could do it. But you will get to see stuff that you will go away and feel very satisfied with.
Well, thank you for joining us this evening on the Space Show, Angelo.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.